Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? It is right to shout for joy, for our life is so glorious. Not only has the Lord saved us from sin, He has bound us closely together with His most glorious will. I sang the hymn and worshiped the Lord with brothers and sisters in one evening. We sang the lyrics of United with the Lord. My heart was so happy, for our life before was without any meaning and direction. But it is not the same anymore. My life has united closely with the will of the Lord. I can fight the good fight for Him, to respond to His love, and build His love dream in my life, which has not been achieved throughout these generations, which is the glorious bride, the church which is after His heart. I find I'm so glorious that I can understand the Lord's heart, to stay by His side and finish the house after His heart in all lands. Brothers and sisters, it is very exciting to step on the first stage, for the Lord has really committed us, and He's coming soon. The church will be finished gloriously. He is accountable to the end. I give thanks that the Lord has put us in this generation. It is the finishing time, and we are the last runners in the relay. May the Christians rise up in all lands to take on the glorious plan of the Lord. Shall we sing a hymn to worship the Lord? It's in Songs of Love 2, Psalm 177. Our three stages. Take up the task. Finish His will. We will sing the fourth and the fifth stanzas.
We walk with joy on to the fifth stage. Run together this final journey. We're heart to heart, build a church He desires, fulfilled His dream, completes the Lord's will. He will come back to receive His bride, to live with Him sweet eternity. O Lord, keep me till I see Your face. Brothers, sisters, arise with joy. May you walk on this glorious journey. Live thou His will with a bar and the Lord. March on with Him and fight the good fight. Let's offer Him what's His long desire. For Him we'll write the glorious last page. With our dear Lord, will make sweet memories.
I hope you have time to quiet yourself and respond to Him, or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to draw near the Lord face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we read in the letter to Romans, chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. First of all, I'd like to tell you that the letter to Romans is very essential, for the contents of this book include the complete gospel. If you like to classify it in detail, it mentions sin and how people can be justified. It was also about how we can depart from the life of sin and live a life of sanctification. Besides, the Holy Spirit was mentioned, and we united with the Lord, and we became the children of Abba. The glorious will of Abba is for us to gain glory with the Lord, and the plan of God is to establish the church, which mentioned in the book of Romans. Hence, this book is very crucial. It declares our glorious life originates from the gospel. There was a book published by the church that was written by Brother Sermon, named Be Holy to God in Chinese version, which was about the letter to Romans, and it is worth reading. Brother Sermon summarized this book in one sentence, Be Holy to God. That is, not only sanctification is we are living in a holy life, but an abundant life as well. It is to live a life of union with the Lord in unity, love, and affection. This book was written about the peak of our lives beautifully. Sanctification is not some profound theological term, but every one of us who believes in the Lord should understand and be able to achieve it, because God likes each of us to be sanctified to him. May each of us love God with all our hearts and be sanctified to him. And Paul was the one who wrote the letter to Romans, who was our role model of sanctification, and be holy to God. Truly, I appreciate Paul when I read verse 1 to verse 17. I was attracted by him. Did you notice which word appeared most from verse 1 to verse 17? That's right, it was the gospel, which appeared 7 times in the Chinese version. Thus, the gospel is not only the theme in chapter 1, but it is the theme of the entire letter to Romans. As mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, people from Rome were present when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Later, they spread the gospel back to Rome and established the church. Thus, the church in Rome was not founded by Paul. In fact, he had never been to Rome when he wrote to the church in Rome. He became a prisoner and was put in prison by the time he arrived in Rome. As I said at the beginning, the original church in Rome was established by the Jews. The majority of them were Jewish. They believed in Jesus, but took the law seriously. And after a period of time, the Roman Empire expelled the Jews and persecuted the church. As a result, the church in Rome became a church dominated by Gentiles gradually. Rome was the center of the Roman Empire, the most powerful empire at that time, which influenced the whole world. Hence, Paul wrote to the Romans like preaching the gospel to the whole world. I felt Paul liked to impact the world. He liked to spread the name of the Lord to the end of the earth and try his best to preach the gospel to all lands. In fact, I appreciate Paul valued the heart and the will of the Lord. He gave himself to the Lord. He loved the Lord with all his heart. He loved what the Lord loved and hated what the Lord hated. Not only he loved the Lord, he also loved the church. When I read verse 11, "For I long to see you," Paul was eager to go to Rome and meet brothers and sisters. Though he did not establish the church there, and he had never been, and he had never met the brothers and sisters there, but he knew them. Wasn't it strange? Apparently, Paul had great affection for the church in Rome, and he was concerned about their situation indeed. Hence, I believe when Paul preached the gospel in various places, he learned about the situation in Rome from the brothers and sisters of Rome, like Priscilla and Aquila. So he knew the situation of the church in Rome, as they were from Rome. This letter was so special that Paul must have written this letter thoughtfully, especially when you read the letter to Romans chapter 16. I was deeply moved every time I read this chapter, as there were so many names mentioned in it. Paul greeted them one by one and cared about their needs. It has shown the sincere love of Paul for the church in Rome. Paul loved the house of God indeed. Brothers and sisters, do we love our brothers and sisters? Do we treasure the house of God? Let us divide the letter to Romans chapter 1 into three parts. The first part is from verse 1 to verse 17. It mentioned Paul was sent by the word of God and set apart for preaching the gospel of God. And Paul mentioned the glory of the gospel from the beginning, which was very precious. The gospel originates from the loving heart of the Trinity God. It is the will of God, the promise of God. It was promised in the Bible in the time of the prophets. It is the love dream accomplished by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 mentioned, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What I enjoy about this verse is that Abba sent the Lord to accomplish salvation for us. Verse 3 was about the Lord Jesus being born for us. Verse 4 mentioned the death of the Lord and his resurrection for us, but also mentioned the Father, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit at the same time. Shall we read verse 4? And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. It's very treasurable. Brothers and sisters, this gospel is not cheap, but it is the most precious grace. Abba, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, who accomplish it by working together and devote everything. We are so blessed. I'd like to thank the Lord. I give thanks to the Lord. I was given a chance to hear the glorious gospel. After my conversion, I can enjoy the most valuable connotation in the gospel. That is the love of Abba, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity God. It's so terrific. You and I are the one whom God loves, and we belong to Jesus Christ. Just as what was said in verse 6 and verse 7, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This not only for the brothers and sisters in Rome, but talking about us as well. We believe in Jesus and also belong to Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in verse 7, to all those in Rome who are loved by God. The brothers and sisters in Rome were loved by God. Definitely, it applies to us. We are whom God loves. You and I are the desire of God. And this part is from verse 1 to verse 7. There was one thing about Paul that attracted my heart. In verse 1 mention, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He was a man with mission. From verse 1 to verse 7, being called was mentioned 3 times. He regarded the task of God as the calling of God to him. In other words, it was an honor for him. Being a servant of Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul didn't have a hard feeling or was not unwilling. As you can see, Paul treasured the task given to him and the calling of God. God called him and chose him. Hence, it was his honor, even though Paul suffered and was persecuted for the gospel and the word he preached. How precious! In verse 5, Paul mentioned, though whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Paul spoke of grace together with apostleship. Do you know why? That's right. Paul regarded the task entrusted by God to him as grace. Brothers and sisters, I can say we are at the final achievement of the church in this generation. We have a share to accomplish the church. Truly, this is a great grace. Paul started the church with brothers and sisters in the first century, and we are continuing in the last age. If Paul felt that it was grace to be chosen by God, what about us? We should all be grateful that we have a part and God has chosen us and given us the task in this age. He likes us to work with him to make his wish come true. Brothers and sisters, if you are grateful for your own salvation day by day, I encourage you also to be grateful that you are able to know the will of God in this age and have a part in completing the church. It is worth thanking the Lord day by day for choosing us and entrusting us. When I read verse 1 to verse 7, my first feeling was that the gospel and the mission of God walked hand in hand. Once we knew the gospel, believed in the Lord, we became the saints and became the one whom God loved and belonged to Jesus Christ. At the same time, we are given the mission. We have to preach the gospel so that people obey the truth and that many people may believe in the Lord, to know the love of God and have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, woe to us if we don't preach the gospel, for the responsibility of preaching the gospel has been entrusted to us. Brothers and sisters, let's think. If you have such good things but don't let others know, we're responsible for the people who end up in hell because they cannot hear the gospel. There are some people around us that only we know. If we don't tell them and they can't hear the gospel, the ending will be tragic. You see, Paul said in verse 13 that I have often intended to come to you in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. And in verse 14, Paul said again, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. He used the word obligation to describe the burden and urgency in his heart. Brothers and sisters, we should have a fervent heart for the souls of our family and friends. Let's pray for them first and ask the Lord to prepare an opportunity. We also pray for ourselves so that we may have the courage to preach the gospel to them, to bear witness and invite them to go to the gospel meeting. We don't have much time. The Lord will come soon. We must grasp every opportunity to spread the gospel to them. Whether they believe or not is their choices and their responsibilities. Yet, whether to spread it or not is our choices and our responsibilities. The second part of the letter to Romans chapter 1 is from verse 8 to verse 17. Mainly, it talks about the power of the gospel. The gospel is able to save everyone who believes, just like what Paul said in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. Since the gospel can save everyone who believes, the gospel should be spread throughout the world. Thus, Paul has the vision for the worldwide. He liked to go as far as he could. He preached the name of the Lord and built churches wherever he went. If Paul had not been in prison and persecuted, Brother Daniel said that Paul might be the first man to discover the new continent of America, for he continued to go. Paul made 4 journeys. As you can see that his roots went further and further. As I mentioned before, Rome was a place Paul had never been to at that time. But he was so eager to go to Rome. He had a fervent heart. Paul mentioned that he loved to go to Rome as soon as possible, at least 4 times in the passage from verse 8 to verse 17. Verse 10, I may now at least succeed in coming to you. In verse 11, I long to see you. In verse 13, I have often intended to come to you. And in verse 15, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul decided to go to Rome, not for traveling. There were 2 purposes. Do you know what those are? I believe you can know the answers. Firstly, you like to meet the brothers and sisters, to build the glorious church in Rome, to help the brothers and sisters in Rome and solve their problems, in order the church in Rome was full of warmth and more glorious. The second purpose was to preach the gospel to the people in Rome. Thus, the gospel could be spread throughout the world. Have you ever heard that all roads lead to Rome? Definitely. Rome was an important city that could have a great influence on the Gentiles at that time. He liked the will of the Lord to be spread to the end of the earth. Thus, Paul decided to go to Rome, not for his sake, but he fought for the Lord and the will of the Lord to the end. Paul wanted nothing for himself. He wanted everything for the Lord. Lastly, the 3rd part of the letter to Romans chapter 1 is from verse 18 to verse 32. This part spoke of man misusing their freedom for the wrongdoings and sin against God. Man disobeys the revelation of God to man through creation. They are against the truth and don't know God. People neither glorify the Creator as God nor thank Him. There is a verse in the Bible that you all should be very familiar with. It is in the letter to Romans chapter 1 verse 20. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived, even since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Very often, we will preach the gospel to unbelievers with these verses, to tell them the existence of God. Brothers and sisters, this verse should also speak to your heart and ours. Since the creation of the world, the eternal power of God, which is God's eternal and almighty power, and divine nature, which is the heart of God, have been clearly perceived. Brothers and sisters, have we understood the power of God and His heart towards us through the things He has created? That's right. We can't see the heart of God. We can't see how awesome the ability of God is for His invisible attributes. Yet, in the things that have been made, we see. There is no excuse for us not to know that the power of God and His heart for us. God does everything for us. He has a heart for us. We know that the love of God is sincere and the most unique through His creations. And there is no excuse. Brothers and sisters, you can enjoy the love of God day by day. You see, there are so many flowers and leaves in the world. Not a single leaf or flowers is the same. God has the most personal love for you and me. Truly, There is no excuse. We have to enjoy the eternal power and love of God, which are perceivable since the creation of the world to eternity. You and I can deeply experience and enjoy them. Brothers and sisters, you will see clearly the intention of God for you when reading the letters to Romans. The third part in the letter to Romans chapter 1 was not only about man violating the revelation of God through creation. They also violate their own conscience. Paul mentions several times God allowed them to have evil intentions and do unreasonable and unjust things in this part. In verse 28 to 31, listed many iniquities that people commit with their free will, whether it was the faults in their hearts or their own deeds. It's so precious that God gives us the true freedom. We have the freedom to choose Him or reject Him. Why does God give us freedom? For God loves us and He gives us freedom. God loves us to love Him in return, and that is true love. God longs to have the love relationship with us, but not a relationship of master and slave. If God created us as slaves, the most important thing for a slave is to be obedient. Then He should create us like a robot. Then wouldn't it be fine that we just listen to any instructions from God? Obviously, this is not the will of God. What God wants is the relationship of love. God likes to be our Abba. God created us to be His children, to love Him and to enjoy the affection of Father and Son with each other. In addition, God created us to be the darling love of the Lord, to enjoy the love and admiration with the Lord. If we don't have freedom, how can we enjoy the affection of Father and Son, love and admiration with the Lord? Everything is fake without freedom. Brothers and sisters, it's so precious that God has given us freedom, for He likes to have the deepest connection of love with us, as we know the heart of God through this. Brothers and sisters, we shall not abuse our freedom. We should choose the Lord daily to draw close to Him and love Him. And this is the most appropriate way to use our freedom. This is also what a new creation should be. What you like to do most in your heart. Well, I have to stop my sharing here, although there is a lot for me to share with you, but I'm running out of time. Now it is your turn to be with the Lord alone. You shall continue to stay before the Lord in the light of His countenance. You can pray and worship and be with Him heart to heart. And this is the most precious moment. May you enjoy the rest of the letter to Romans chapter 1. Let us continue to read through it. May the Lord bless you.